our music team, thank you for sitting down, guys. Let's give them an awesome hand. A lot of our music team are in the Philippines and some are away on holidays. So you did really well. Jess, fantastic. Where are you, Jess? Over there. Awesome. Well done, young lady. Now, I would like to welcome Lynn Tobin up here. Lynn preaches all around Australia. She preaches overseas. She has an amazing ministry in India also. And Lynn has two children, three or four grandchildren? Three. Maybe there's one more coming. Anyway, that's okay. Thanks. Lynn and Dave are great friends of Pastor Nigel and Andrea, are great friends of our church here. And I know everybody here that know her. They just love her. Those that don't know her, well, you will love her at the end of today.
Now, you're better.
Now, you know, I just want to say is just listen, have an open heart. And this lady's the real deal. She doesn't just sprout stuff off, but she knows what she's talking about. Okay? Awesome, Lynn.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Amen. I'm actually going to get them to show a video, and it's about have you got talent in Britain? And but what when you look at it, you're probably thinking, now what's all this about? But God really spoke to me through this DVD. Of course, it came on Facebook. Where else do you get your message? But but just a couple of things I'd like you to think. When you're watching it first, watch the guys' faces as this lady comes out because of her age. Just watch their faces. But watch how their faces change. But the other thing I want you, at the end, we actually cut it short, but really cut, but now I've made it longer, because I want you to hear her answers when she's asked some questions, okay? I'll see you back in 6 minutes, all right?
Doing it for Glasgow. Meet 80-year-old mum of seven, grandmother of 13, and great-grandmother of four, Janie Cutler.
What's your name?
Janie.
Nice to meet you, Janie. What are you doing for us today?
Singing. That's right. Ah! I like singing, and my friend says, Janie, go in for it. Better late than never, dear. I've had a great life. Seven kids. Hard times, but the happiest days of my life. No regrets.
They're ready for you, the judges. Is it? Yeah?
Yeah, you gonna give it a bash?
Yes.
Just on that white mark.
See that white mark, just there. Just this one there. Do you want me to take you on?
Aye.
Come on, give us your hand then. Come on. Ready? Give us a shout and I'll come back for you, alright? There it is, just there. Okay.
How are you?
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. What's your name, darling?
Pardon?
What's your name?
Janie Cutler.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, Janie, how old are you?
80.
80. You're very good. And Janie, why have you auditioned for the show?
Well, I like singing, so my friend says, go for it.
All right, what are you going to sing, Janie?
No regrets.
All right, good luck.
As you leave
pubs and clubs.
When Ant brought you on and you were standing there, I didn't know what to expect. I did not expect you to have a set of lungs on you like that. I mean, that voice came from... You're so tiny, you have such a massive voice. It was spectacular.
Jamie, how many years have you waited to do that?
I'm just thankful I am here tonight.
Good answer.
To you. OK, moment of truth, Janie. Here's yes or no.
Oh, absolutely a massive yes.
Amanda?
I think the royal family would love you, so I'm going to say yes.
Janie? 3,003 yeses.
I tell my friends and I'm worried in case I'm wasted the night.
Mate, electrifying.
So strong.
That is amazing.
You blew them away. What is it with Glasgow?
Amen. Give Janie a clap. Did that clip speak to you? It really spoke to me. Better late than never. Don't you reckon? Better late than never. And why did she come, people? She came because a friend helped her to come. Is that correct? A friend encouraged her. You know, we're never going to fulfill what God has for our life if we're not encouraged by others or we don't encourage others. I think the most important role we have is to encourage other people. And there she was, 80 years of age, because she was encouraged by a friend. Don't you think that's incredible? And it was amazing when she walks out and he says, "Where have you been?" And sometimes we think, you know, well, it hasn't happened in our life. All the things that I thought would happen in my life hasn't happened. And sometimes I think the Lord's saying, "Where have you been? Where have you been?" And did you notice the judges when she came on, because she was 80 and she couldn't walk across the street, walk across the stage? Their faces said it all, didn't they? What have we got here? What have we got here? And sometimes we do that to people when, you know, God is using them and they think, well, what have we got here? Don't say you haven't, because you have. Is that true? And what really got me is when that judge said to her, "Janie, how many years have you wasted? How many years you've wasted?" How do we know what her life was all about? She probably didn't have any opportunity. But how many years have you wasted? And I loved her answer. She said, she stops for a moment as you saw and she says, "Well, I'm here tonight." And you know what, people? You're here today. No matter what's happened in your life, you are here today. And you also notice that the gift she had, the gift of singing, had not diminished because she was 80 years of age. And I believe the gifts that God has placed in our life, they do not diminish. We need to stand up and know that God wants to use us. Amen? Praise God. And most of that is encouraging other people. You know, as I said, what got me was the gift was just as loud. And I'm thinking maybe I'm going to be as loud when I'm 80. You know, maybe you're here today and you've been sitting on gifts. Maybe you think I'm too old now. You know, I've left it too late. Maybe, you know, life is... And most people don't make the decision. She didn't make that decision. I'm not going to fulfill what God has placed on my heart, whatever, you know, with the singing. But, you know, life comes, doesn't it? Life happens. And sometimes we just can't do what's on our hearts to do. Would that be right? And many of us have got dreams. And somehow, it doesn't matter how much we dream, the dreams don't come to pass. But, you know, people, I've come to tell you that the time is now. Just as Janie walked out on that stage at 80, I love her. I absolutely admire her. I don't know about the Queen meeting her. I want to meet her and tell her how much she encouraged me. But the time is now. Because, you know, I find going into 2015 very interesting. Because, you know, it's like some people love 2014. I won't ask to put hands up. Some people hated 2014. Some people are glad it's gone. Some people wish that it could stay. Isn't that true? Depends what happened on 2014. But there's so much put on the fact that you go from one night to 2014 to 2015. But I found something out. When I went to bed on 2014 on the 31st, I wore pink pajamas. And when I woke up the next day, I still had pink pajamas on. Nothing had changed. My scale still said the same in 2014 and 2015. Probably more because Christmas had been. But anyway. The dishes that David left out during the night were still on the sink next day. But we put so much emphasis on the fact that we are going from 2014 to 2015. But, you know, a lot of things in our life don't change just because we go from one year to another. Would you agree with me, people? And somehow we think we're going to wake up. I could have woken up in 2015 with blue pajamas on, but I didn't. But I tell you, people, there's one thing that'll never change, and that is that we are born to overcome. That we are born to overcome. No matter what happened in 2014, no matter what's going to happen in 2015, we are born to overcome. You're going to believe that with me? And the Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You are born to be overcomers. Whether it's 2014 or 2015, you are born to be overcomers. Whether you're young or whether you're old or whether you think you've missed it or haven't done what God wants, I'm going to tell you today that you are an overcomer. Amen? Because we are designed to overcome. We are designed to be fruitful. We are designed to produce something good. Amen? We are. We are designed to fulfill the purpose that God has in our lives. Life is not always easy and stuff happens, but I still tell you, people, that we are born to be overcomers. Amen? John 10:10. If we just have that in the overhead, thank you very much. You all know it well. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Amen? Well, you ever thought about the word abundantly? You know, it means so much. Abundantly means superabundance. It means excessive. It means overflowing. Is that your kind of life? It means surplus. It means over and above. It means more than enough. It means extraordinary, more than sufficient. So Jesus came so we could have an abundant life. That's what abundant means. See, I believe that God has placed in all our hands something to do. Amen? That I believe in all our hands that we have something that we can do. But you know, often that is not enough. Sometimes it seems like opportunities just slip through our fingers, or it's the wrong time. Or as Janie sang, she said she had no regrets. Or we're too old, we're too young, we've lost opportunities, we've made too many mistakes in our life, and we stop the champion, the seed of a champion, to be released in our lives. And I believe that every one of us have got a seed of a champion inside our lives. Amen? But every one of us has something in our hand right now that we can do. We're so busy looking at the things we didn't do or the things that didn't work out or disappointment. Because, you know, I call life stuff. We all have stuff. True, isn't it? It just keeps coming. Stuff keeps coming. I get rid of some stuff and another stuff comes on. Looks like a new baby's coming. You know, like stuff keeps happening. But we have something that God has placed in our hands right now that we can do today on the 18th of January 2015. Amen? And we've got to stop the enemy robbing us of that. You know, when I was looking at that video and I was looking at John 10:10, I thought, God, show me someone who used what was in his hand to do. Someone who didn't think he could speak. Someone who didn't have any confidence in himself. But you know what? He used what was his hand to do. And that is Moses. Let's look at Exodus 17, first of all, verses 8 and 9. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. It says, Moses stood on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. Moses knew what was in his hand. Amen? He knew. He knew that if he lifted that rod up, they won. If he let the rod go down, they started to lose. Can you imagine? Up, down, up, down, up, down. But he knew what was in his hand. He knew what God had placed there. And people, we need to know, what has God placed in your hand right now that you can either touch someone's life or change someone's life, or even support someone else to do what God's placed in their hands, just as Janie's friend did to her. Amen? See, we need a revelation. What is in your hand now? We're too busy worrying about the stuff that we let slip through our fingers. We're too busy worrying about the mistakes we've made, and goes on and on and on. Not what could have been, should have been, would have been. We can spend our whole life doing that kind of stuff. And we just make it harder for ourselves. You know, we can dwell on lost opportunities. We can dwell on regrets. We've all had them. But that blocks what is already in our hand to do right now. Amen? Right now. We've got to get what's in our hands right now. You know, the only possibilities I can do is what is placed in my hand to do right now. Amen? All the other stuff's gone, but what is in my hand right now, God can use it. You know what happens? We keep putting it off. Like Janie, 80 years of age. You know, but we keep putting it off. Imagine what had happened if she had the opportunity when she was 20. But I tell you what, she still did it when she was 80. Amen? We're never too old. You know, when we start thinking about, oh, but you know, I've done it before and it's not possible and you have no idea what 2014 was, it goes on and on and on and on. We just disqualify ourselves. We stop God from releasing the seed of a champion inside of us because we don't see what God sees. If there's anything else I want to say to people in 2015, start seeing what God sees about you, about your life, about other people. We need to be seeing what God sees. Amen? Jeannie knew she was gifted and she had a friend. Come on, can you imagine them sitting there together over coffee or probably tea? And, you know, come on, Janie, go for it. Who have we said that to lately? It's all about ourselves half the time. But who have you said lately, come on, Charlie, go for it? Amen? Because the only things I have control over, as I said, is what opportunities God makes available to me right now. Sometimes, you know, we think nobody notices. And we start this, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about you? And we start moving away from God and the opportunities he has placed in our hands. Because we're looking at me, then we're not looking at him. Amen? And we don't see the opportunities that he's placing in our hands right now. I'm telling you, people, every one of you have an opportunity in your hand right now. Right now, you have something that God's placed there right now, this moment, that you can use for his glory. Let's look at Exodus 17, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amazing scripture. You know, when they lifted up his hands, his friends, they won. When his hands went down, they lost. But you know, when I was looking at this, I thought, who is God spotlighting in this chapter? Is it Joshua who's fighting down on the field? Or is it three men standing on a distant hillside? Who do you think God would be spotlighting right now? If we went back in time right now and we were watching this in the time, guess who the news readers would all be talking about? Who do you reckon they would be talking about? Who do you think? Joshua. Guess whose face would be on every TV screen? Joshua? Is that right? Who would they be interviewing? They'd be interviewing Joshua. Who would they be praising and singing about? Joshua. Who would be on 60 Minutes? Joshua. Come on. They'd be saying, high fives, Joshua. You're the man. You're powerful. Joshua, you're a great leader. Joshua, 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 Joshua. Such a great victory. We will be raising Joshua up. But I wonder whose God spotlight would be on. So they had Joshua breakfast, dinner and tea. Every news radio broadcast, we'd be talking about the dinner table, at the hairdresser, at the barber, at the workplace. I tell you, whatever, but that is man's perception. That is not whom God is singing the praises of. God is singing the praises of three men who have been operating in obscenely obscure, insignificant role, but their role is causing the destiny to be fulfilled in somebody else. Powerful stuff. What have we done in our life? You have no idea, people, how you've spoken to other people and encouraged them. That's what it's all about. God's spotlight would have been on these three men. Janie's unnamed friend got her to the audition. She believed in her. Now we're all praising Janie, but I praise that friend who encouraged her and was probably outside, you know, thinking, oh, please, please, let her get on there. What you do in obscurity for God is going to have a difference in the lives of people who pass by your life. Don't believe enemies' lives. So often we think, but what have we done? Did you speak to someone down the street? Did you encourage somebody? You know, it goes on and on, speaking into people's lives, just doing stuff, little stuff. Do you know, God's spotlight is on us when we encourage other people. On a Saturday morning in December, it was actually 1973. It was in 1973. I had an amazing salvation, all that when I was 14. But you know, as things worked out, you know, life went on and I got married. And because of circumstances, I stopped going to church. I never stopped believing in God because God had really touched me. But you know, I'd had a child and all that kind of stuff, and I knew something was missing. But, you know, I was sort of searching God, you know. I wanted to see God where the rubber hit the road. I wanted to see the reality of God's power. I wanted to see the reality in God's people's life. I didn't want to listen to words. I wanted God's reality. So this Saturday morning, I got up, young, 1973, and my Anastasia was just near the end of 72, just born. And so, you know, that morning, one of David's cousin, he was married, David hardly had any relations because he was born from India, but he had one cousin who was married to a cousin, Tim, and he came to our house that morning, just came, and he walked in, he said, oh, David, he said. Dave was Catholic at the time, and nothing wrong with that. I love Catholic people. It's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying he wasn't a Christian. Well, he didn't know Jesus. I'll put it right in a minute, because I love I've got so many Catholic friends in India, I love them, so that's not what I'm saying. And so he comes in and said, David, I met this bloke down in town. He talked about Gog and Magog and Jesus coming back. Oh, what a funny bloke. And David goes, ha, 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 ha. And Tim's laughing, ha, 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 ha. They were having a good old joke. But you know what happened to me? I felt like a knife had got into my stomach. And I thought, oh, Jesus Christ is coming back. Because I knew the reality. I knew. You know, frighten me to death. He's coming back. And David's laughing. I'm saying, but he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And you know what happens? For the next 4 months, every time I turned on the TV, every time someone spoke to me, it was God, 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 God. I just couldn't get away from it. And we even went out on New Year's Eve. I got drunk. I danced on the tables. I was a bit skinnier then. And you know what? At 2 o'clock in the morning, God spoke to me. He said, what are you doing? He said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm drunk and I'm dancing. Actually, and he said, but I've got so much more for you. That's what he said to me. And I went home that night and knelt by the bed. And you know, and God spoke to me. And David knew something had happened. You know why he knew? Because he wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. And usually I would have chucked a shoe at him. But I actually was nice and said, would you mind getting out of bed? He thought something's happened. But you can put the spotlight on me. What about that young man in 1973? He got up that morning. He went out and witnessed to people. He'd have no idea what happened, would he? He has no idea of the thousands and thousands of people, thousands and thousands, especially in India and everywhere, that lives have been touched. All because he got up that morning and witnessed to this bloke who laughed at him. Isn't that incredible? We have to understand people. We don't always see what God is doing through our lives. But one day I'm going to meet that young man and I'm going to say, hey, you got up that morning for me. Isn't that true? But it is true. Many people who seem insignificant, and sometimes we think that's what we are, we play a major role in others becoming champions. I look at Charlie and I think of Charlie and Fremantle and I reckon that he's, you know, he's helped so many people become champions. It is the truth. Wherever I go in Fremantle, there's Charlie. Went to a party the other night, there's Charlie. You know, but how many people have known God or even been encouraged because of Charlie? That's a word for you. Do not be discouraged, Charlie. You have no idea. One day, you're going to have all these people running up to you and you haven't even met them. Because someone said, hey, I met this guy, Charlie, down the street. And he told me this and that. Isn't that true? We just don't know. You know, their role has caused the destiny of God to be filled in someone else's life. That young man caused me, my destiny, to be filled in my life because they got up there in the morning. What about the people that pray? What about the grandmothers? All the grandmothers here. Come on, we pray so much for our kids and grandkids, our tongues hang out. True, we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. True. And parents, we pray and we pray and we pray. But I tell you what, you'll be amazed what those prayers are doing. You'll be amazed about the lives that have been touched. Amen? See, we think our ministry or our church role or function exists for us. We have it all wrong. We exist for it. It was not just about Moses. It wasn't just about his ministry. Actually, nothing of this was about Moses. Even you read all about Moses. It was never about him. It was about the millions of people that were in captivity that wanted to be set free. It was all about them. And it isn't all about us people. We can come into 2015 and say, you know, what is my role? What am I going to do? It's not about that. It's about hearing the cries of the people. And I tell you, there's cries going up everywhere in our suburb, in our nation. People are crying out for help. They're crying out for truth. They don't know what's happening on. If you talk to people out there, they are so full of fear, they don't know which way is up. And they are crying out for freedom. And God wants us to hear that call. That's what he wants us to do. As I said, it's never about us. If you think your calling's about you, it is not. So Moses is holding that rod up. Understand this. Sometimes when we're holding up what God has put in our hands to do, our purpose, our assignment, it's jolly hard. Do you know that? Sometimes holding on to what God wants you to do in your hand will take every bit of energy you have got and more. Because there's a cost to doing what is in your hand to do. There's a cost. And for Moses, it was a cost. He knew God. He loved God. And he was holding up that rod with everything he had. But even though he loved God, knew God, a friend of God, it took everything and more. And sometimes even when we are doing what God wants, we think, how long can we do it? I've come to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't become disheartened. Like going from 2014 to 2015 does not automatically change things in your life. Oh, we can become disheartened. When will it happen, Lord? When will I be doing what you really want me to do? But that, just because it's not happening, doesn't mean that we are overcomers. We're hanging on what's in our hand, amen? And Janie hung on to that gift, did she not? How many believe here that Moses and God were tight? I mean, they were good friends. You all know that, how good friends they were? God speaks to Moses out of a burning bush. Hey, that's a good friend, isn't it? God writes letters to Moses with his finger. I mean, they are close. Would you agree? When Miriam and Aaron, his sister and brother, murmured against them, God, you know, what does God say? My servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord, and you dare to speak against him? And what happened to Miriam? She got leprosy because she spoke about the woman that Moses had married. I tell you what, Moses and God were tight. They were buddies. God says to Moses, stand by me. I will put my hand over you and I'll pass by you and you will see my goodness. I mean, they are really good friends, aren't they? But here is Moses holding that rod up with everything that is within him. Up they win, down they lose. Many of us would have thought this, give it a miss. What's the point? I mean, everybody talks about Joshua anyway. Isn't it true? Have to understand, though Moses was born a slave, he was nurtured in the spirit of a winner. Do you know that? He was. Many of us were born as slaves. We landed up in a little nursery. And you know what happens? We're born and all of a sudden all these suitcases come in. Can you see it? Suitcase, all the baggage of the family, all the baggage of the past, all these suitcases all pack up in our nursery. Amen? It's true, isn't it? Many of us are born into so much stuff, so much stuff. But you know what? God wants to nurture us to be winners, to be champions. Amen? Praise God. We have stuff projected on us a lot of our lives. But the truth is, we are born of God. We have a seed of a champion inside of us, and God is nurturing us to be overcomers, to be champions, to be winners. Amen? That's what he's doing. And we can get hold of that in 2015. It's not about us. It's about others. And I'm going to allow God to nurture me to be a champion. Praise God. So Moses is holding this rod up, and in his humanity, as close as he is to God, he cannot do it by himself. He is on an obscure hill, holding the rod up from morning to night. It's not meant to be that way. Others are supposed to be helping us. He needed the support of Aaron and Hur. He couldn't do it without them. We need the support and commitment of each other to fulfill the plans and purposes God has signed for us to do. Amen? We need others. I need you. You need me. We need each other. I couldn't do what I do without having a husband that is by me all the time, even though he's sick. He believes in everything that God has placed in my life because it's all about other people. Sometimes we sit around waiting for the golden phone call. In the old days in apostolic, when they had a meeting, everybody waiting for the gold phone to ring to say, you're a pastor now. You know, they're all waiting. I thought, I hope my phone never rings. But anyway, but you know, we wait around for that big moment the moment he is right now, because we have something in our hands to do right now. Right now. Praise God. You know, and it possibly will be simply holding someone else's hand up. That's what it could be. Can you imagine it? The second big thing is commitment. Fulfilling the purpose of God for your life are impossible without commitment. And you know, it's a price. There's a price to what we do. There's a price to doing this all the time. But you know, it's just doing what is in your hands to do. You cannot fulfill your destiny. You cannot fulfill your purpose. You cannot fulfill your assignment without commitment. It will take all your energy and some more. See, people think, you know, I'm motivating you this morning. But you know what? Me motivating you is not going to produce commitment. Sorry, it won't. Commitment produces motivation. Can you hear that? Motivation does not produce commitment. Commitment produces motivation. I am committed to doing what God has called me to do. I am committed to people having value. I am committed to people rising up and fulfilling what God has placed in their lives, no matter what they do, what they've done in life. I am committed to that. And that brings the motivation. That will bring motivation. Let's look at 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know, it's talking about you. You're anointed. You can. You can do what God has placed in your hand to. You are anointed, and you know all things. This anointing is enough power to defeat every challenge that comes your way. Do you know that, people? You were formed to overcome. God, when he asks you to do something, he will enable you to do it. You're designed to be victorious. You're designed to be a champion. Can you hear me? You are designed to be all that God wants you to be. God has set a course for you. Don't exit. Don't give up. Get committed. Be strong and be courageous. That's my words to you in 2015. Be strong. Be courageous. Use what God has placed in your hand to be. The year 2015 won't make the difference. I'm sorry. If you went to bed, pink pajamas in 2014, you woke up in them. Am I right? But if you go into 2015 believing that God has placed something in your hand for you to do, and he has empowered you and given you the anointing to be able to do that. So the trouble is, we let the world define us. We let the newspapers define us. We let people in our homes define us. People, we have to start defining the world with the power of God. We're letting our homes be defined by the spirit of the world. But people, we are to define the world. When I walk into a place, doesn't matter how dark it is, I walk in and I say to myself, I'm a bit nervous. I've gone into some dark places. But you know what? I say, come on, God, together we can define this darkness. I'm not going to let this darkness define me. Praise God. So people, my challenge is, who believes they've got something in their hand right now that they can use? Could be anything. Could just not something natural. I'll ask again. Who believes they have something in their hand that God can use right now? You can talk. You can drive. You can walk if I picked you up. You can eat. You can take someone to meal. I mean, who has got something in their hands right now? Come on, people. I believe every one of you has got something in your hands. It might be just saying hello to someone, being nice to somebody. Yeah, well, I'm saying, it's not always some huge thing. Janie's friend said, she probably said, go on, go for it. That's all she said. So I want you to stand right now, and I want you to get hold of what you believe is in your hand right now. What's in your hand right now? What's in your hand right now? Come on, people. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Let's forget about 2014. Let's just get hold of what's in your hand right now. And I want you to just lift that up to God right now and say, God, use it. God, even if I don't know what's in my hand, use me, Father. Just use me whatever way. Father, help me to hear the cries of the people. Help me to hear the hearts and the cries of the neighborhood. Help me, help me, help me. Oh, Father. Father, as these people have lifted up their hands, Father, I just know that you're touching them right now, that you're encouraging them right now, Father, that you are, Father, Father, nurturing that seed of a champion that's already inside of them. There's a seed of a champion inside you already. It is there. When you're born again, the seed of the champion was placed inside of you, and God just wants to nurture that right now. Oh, Father, I just pray. Oh, God, encourage people this morning, Father. Let them start seeing out of the box, Father, this morning. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, God. And you know, people, we're not going to do it on our own. And I always feel awkward saying this because, you know, people might always want to, but what I'd like you to do is just hold the hands across the auditorium. Why am I doing that? Because there's someone sitting next to you that possibly has a need. There's someone sitting next to you that probably hasn't been hugged or kissed for years. There's someone next to you that's never been told they've been loved for years. There's someone next to you that just needs to be encouraged. So, Father, as hands are linked across this place, Father, we pray for the incredible unity that's going to come. Incredible unity. Father, it's here now, but more caring. Such a caring. This church is based on caring. I'm based on loving. Giving the unloved a future and a hope. I'm prophesying that right now into this place that's always been there. To prophesying to the unlovely. But even to those that are loved, that they can be nurtured and loved. I prophesy, nurture, love in this place right now. In a greater way. In a greater way. Value to every person here. No matter who you are a person of value, of value, of value. I tell you, the ground at the cross is flat. We're all equal. Oh, Father, I just prophesy that in this place this morning. That everyone will go out of here knowing they are of value. That they have a seed of a champion inside of them. Oh, God, and the love will flow from that. They'll be looking out for each other. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Come, let's start thanking him this morning. Let's start thanking him. We've got time to thank him this morning. Who's going to thank him this morning? Come on, people. Let's start thanking him. Thanking him. Thanking him for the little things. Thanking him that you're here. Thanking him this morning. Oh, God. Yes, Jesus. Come on, give him a big clap. Come on. Amen. 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 So I'll ask you a question. Who's an overcomer this morning? Who knows they've got a seed of a champion inside of them? You have. Be encouraged, people. It'll be different in 2015. You know why? Because you're going to be different. Amen. Thank you, Charlie.
Well done. I remember our community. Let's love on them in one hand. Love on them. Other hand. Reach out the hand of friendship to them. Hey, wouldn't that be good? Let's do that. What I'd like us to do, guys, is we're going to bless Lynette Tobin. We're going to take up an offering for her. And this is for her. To meet her needs. To help her with her ministry in India and wherever she goes. And as we give what's in our hand today, let's give, let's see it as we are investing in her ministry. As we see we are investing in her ministry, we see that we are launching her to expand, to encourage, to lift other people up. okay, that I'm not going to India, but I can give her something for her to go. And it's like my voice, saying, Lynn, here we are, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will minister to us, Lord, as we minister to Lynn right now. That, Lord, we will not miss this opportunity, Father, of what is in our hands. And right now, Lord, we have finances in our hands. And, Lord, and every bit helps, Lord, and every little bit counts, Father God. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch lives with this resource, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Let's do that. Let's take that up. Oh, what a great, that's a great morning. Great presence of God. A great word. Greg Moore, can you come up here, please? Can you just pray? Just the final salutation. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yes, thank you, Lord. Father, we want to be not only hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. And Lord, as Lynn's just communicated probably your heart for us, Lord, we want to take a hold of this. Lord, we want to be diligent in taking what we have in our hands and making it effective. Lord, whatever we're doing, wherever we go, that we can be ambassadors for you, that we can make a difference in other people's lives as other people make a difference in our life. So pray we'll take this word and be fruitful with it, that we'd be champions, that we'd see ourselves differently, we'd see ourselves as you see us, Lord. And Father, we pray that for Lynn and David too, as they go about their journey for 2015. We always look forward to hearing the great adventures they go on, that you would empower them. And Lord, even in the sense as Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands, we uphold David and Lynette to you, Father, that they would prosper this year. Lord, wherever you send them to, Lord, they would prosper, that they would make a difference. They would be couriers and carriers of your great grace and presence. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this week ahead. As you'd bless everybody in this place and that they would be empowered and that they would go on for Jesus. We ask in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy a tea or coffee in the cafe and...